You are listening to the QSR Web Podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to our little weekly podcast here on QSR Web. I'm delighted to have you. I'm QSR Web and Pizza Marketplace Editor Shelley Whitehead. And in a few minutes, Cool Green's Vice President of Operations, Todd Madeliner, stops by for the latest on that super green brand. But first, Fast Casual Editor Shara Kanzler is in the house to give us the lowdown on a great event, the upcoming Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit. That's in just a few seconds, so hang on. It's coming up right after this brief message.
At the Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit, executives from leading brands will share their success stories of the numerous ways they have innovated to grow their franchises. Attendees will gain insight and inspiration to help them be more progressive in every facet of their businesses. Register today at franchisinginnovation.com.
Okay, and we are back and here with Shara Kanzler. And this year, again, Shara, the big meeting of the Restaurant Minds is in our parent company, NetWorld Media Group's home base of Louisville, Kentucky, right?
Hi, Shelley. Yeah, we're excited to be back in Louisville for the Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit. Louisville is always a fun time with the bourbon tours and all the fun things we have planned. But it's not just about fun, of course. We have lots of educational sessions that we're excited about. A lot of CEOs and CMOs and all the C-level guys on tap to give advice and talk about a variety of different topics.
Yeah, this event is always filled with news, from the session panelist and keynote address right down to the dinners and networking. So what is new this year?
Well, we have a lot of variety of great speakers. One of the panels that I'm really excited about is called the Franchising Think Tank Session, and it is going to feature four CEOs or presidents of brands. So we have the president of Schlotzky's, and the president of Auntie Anne's, and president and CEO of Crystal, and of Huey Magoo's. So that's always a really fun session where the attendees get to ask them questions, and they talk about a range of issues facing the industry and kind of how to tackle those, you know, everything from labor issues to food costs to, you know, hiring and training, anything and everything. Everything's open for grabs.
What a great assortment of brands, too. I mean, they come from kind of different corners of the industry, so it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say. Can you tell me what kinds of executives are coming into the Derby City and what kinds of session topics?
We have a lot to choose from this year. We have a How to Please the We Want It Now crowd, which is going to take a look on how to get customers their food as fast as possible. The whole on-demand culture that we have now can be a challenge to restaurant operators. So we have some executives from the Salad Works and from the Pie Hole to talk about that. We of course have sessions on marketing and social media with a variety of executives from all, you know, areas and segments of the industry, from fast casual to QSR to casual dining. So we just have a lot of great sessions where people are going to get to learn a lot. Another one I'm excited about is Remodeling Done Right. We're talking about how to, you know, create a new look with staying power. And so we have a lot of just executives who are in the trenches. That's one thing that I think sets this event apart from all the other events out there. When people come, they're going to hear from, you know, the president of Rave Restaurant Group or the vice president of construction from Captain D's, for example. Scott Davis, the president and CCO of Core Life Eatery, who helped really develop Panera Bread, will be there on one of the panels about next generation technologies. So there's just a ton of good information coming from actual people who are doing this every day.
Yeah, and there is a sense of intimacy about this event between the executives and the audience, isn't there? As opposed to the larger, sprawling conference type events.
Yeah, we call ourselves a summit instead of kind of the anti-trade show. There, you know, we'll have 250 to 300 people max, and there's lots of, you know, there's lots of opportunities for dining together and having drinks together, and, you know, we'll be at the Derby Museum together. So we have a lot of built-in networking time.
Ooh, educational about the Derby too.
Sure.
What about the playtime? Since you brushed up against that, what about the playtime that makes this event so much fun? Where's the big mid-summit event this year? And what's the venue itself like?
So the venue in itself is in the Omni Hotel, which was the only about a year old. We had our event here last year. We were one of the very first events to be at the Omni. It's beautiful, and there's lots of, fun bars, and there's a speakeasy inside, so there's lots of entertainment. And then we are having an offsite dinner at the Derby Museum, so people will get a chance to tour that and still have cocktails and a great dinner. So there's just a lot of time built in for fun, yet education, of course.
Oh, the aura of horse racing with surround and lots of bourbon too.
Yes, of course.
Can people still make reservations? And if so, how? And more importantly, why would you say?
Yeah, of course they can. They can just go to franchisinginnovation.com and they can sign up and register right there. It's just a really great event to help you learn from the pros on how to grow your business. So it's an event that you wouldn't want to miss. You have one-on-one access to these people who are really succeeding in the industry, and they're so wonderful to share their advice with all of us.
Yeah, there really is a sense of camaraderie that kind of fills the event. So, fun. Thanks so much, Shara, for the lowdown on this much loved, very well attended event. I'm sure it will be another stellar meeting this year where lots of memories and connections are made. So, thank you.
Thank you.
And to all you listening, hold tight for a brief message because we'll be right back with Cool Greens' Todd Madliner.
Many of the fastest growing and most successful chains in the restaurant industry are embracing innovation throughout their operations. These forward-thinking brands are constantly looking for the next innovation, new technologies, new menu items, new marketing tactics, new training programs, etc., that will propel them to even greater heights. Come and learn these innovations at the Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit. Register today at franchisinginnovation.com.
Welcome back, everybody, and please also welcome Cool Greens Vice President of Operations, Todd Madliner. And what a great brand this is. Who'd have thunk it? A grains-focused concept right out in the middle of cow country. Cool Greens has really sprung out of the Oklahoma City area, but my understanding is that 2019 will be the year the brand literally grows out of its home garden. Can you tell us about that, Todd?
Sure, Shelley. Thanks for having us today. Cool Greens, we're very proud of the franchise groups that have joined the team so far. We'll be opening in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in early February, followed closely by Southlake, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas, Richardson, Texas, another suburb, and we're close to finalizing a partnership with a great group out of Boston, and they're looking to bring Cool Greens to the Boston, Massachusetts area, as well as the Miami, Florida market. To see how the brand does down there.
Awesome. It's good to hear you going toward the East Coast too, as being a person who's closer to the East Coast. I look forward to that. And this brand has been pretty successful also at attracting a dinner crowd, and that's kind of a tough task for a salad QSR sometimes. How are you making that happen? What type of menu, what types of things are you doing to bring in those evening customers?
And what we found is our guest base, when they think dinner, they're thinking a little heartier, and they want more, if you will, than just that signature salad that we offer. And with our menu offering quinoa bowls, our hot sandwiches, and then our flatbreads, we're able to provide again, that healthier, heartier option to guests as they come in. Plus, we're finding that when couples or groups of individuals want to dine, a lot of times in the evening, they want a more relaxed setting, but they also want to cater to everybody in the group. And with those quinoa bowls, flatbreads, and hot sandwiches, we find that we don't lose the veto vote where one individual in the group is maybe not feeling a salad or feeling something healthy, and they can come in and throw all the toppings they want on a flatbread, and we can satisfy that craving.
And the quinoa balls, they've got kind of a nutty flavor. Tell me how that appeals to people and who it appeals to.
We're finding, we just introduced it, and we'll talk about it probably a little later. We've introduced a white quinoa or organic white quinoa, and we also have a red quinoa and rice blend. And really, all that's doing is adding, it's a little heavier than say your salad mix, but we incorporate a lot of the same salad toppings. But it's typically served warm or hot, unless a guest asks for it cold. So it gives us that ability to provide a more of a, to your point, a nuttier, but also heartier, way to get your fresh cut toppings and your fresh cut vegetables instead of having them mixed with salad.
And the stuff's really good for you too, isn't
It is.
it?
Great source of protein.
Awesome. I love it. I absolutely love it. So I'm going to become the quinoa spokeswoman. Who is your typical customer, by the way, if there is such a thing? I don't know if you can really hone that down, but how do you appeal to that particular individual that you're targeting, and who are they?
You know, we spent a lot of time over 2017 and a lot of 18 really trying to fine-tune, or we felt we needed to get into that, you know, very specific, who is our guest, who is our demographic. And what we found is we really appeal to all spectrums of the population. We're very successful with college students, with older couples, if you will. And there really isn't a specific demographic that we're focusing the menu on. We're trying to appeal to that entire spectrum so that we're not just locked into saying, hey, we're the, you hear that typical, we're the 25 to 45 housewife, or we're the 25 to 35 businessman that so many restaurants try to appeal to. And we've left it much more open and are trying to listen to guests of all ages and see if we can incorporate a healthy, fresh dining experience for everyone.
That's refreshing to hear something other than we are laser focused on millennials, you know, or Gen Z, or it's a kind of interesting take that you want to spread it out a little bit. I'm seeing a lot about your franchising growth. How do you pick a good area for a Cool Greens franchise? At Boston, for instance, how did that come up on the charts? And then how do you evaluate its success in that first year?
Sure. And it really starts with finding the great partner. I think as in anything that in business, if you can find a great partner, location is still everything. But if, again, the great partner, that's where it starts. Somebody that truly believes in the brand and is truly committed to providing an excellent service environment in a clean, fresh, bright restaurant. It starts there. In terms of how do we help those franchisees pick a location, we've partnered with a company called Buxton, and they've done analytics looking at a lot of our credit card data. And really what they're looking at is what are those clients that have been coming into our restaurants in Oklahoma City, what are they doing and where do they end up, and what's it the traffic patterns look like for them. And I can't, I'm not the expert in terms of how they break all that down. What it really found, or where we really found, was we're looking at the population density of an area. Does it have a good balance of business and the business individual through lunches and catering events? And do we have that opportunity? But the area also has to have a nice residential piece near the store. And if we can find that great balance, then that's really the sweet spot. Because now we can cater to the business clientele. They want to pop out. They only have 20 or 30 minutes. They can come in, get a fresh meal that's healthy and good for them. And the same thing in the afternoon or the evening. We now are close enough to those residential areas to cater to those folks as well, who may not want to use a third-party delivery service or go to a full-service sit-down restaurant in their local strip mall.
You know, you mentioned catering. How big a portion of the business is that for you all?
Catering right now is running about 10%, but it's becoming a much bigger piece. In 2018, we introduced a new catering platform, moving away from what so many concepts have done with the big plastic trays with the lids that don't fit. And we've actually moved to a new recyclable catering box that holds all of the items within that container. You open the box, it pops up and makes a nice billboard or backdrop as you set it on your table. When the catering event is done and everyone is finished, you literally just close the box and you throw it in the recycling bin and it's over.
Oh, administrative assistance everywhere. Thanking you for that. You know.
Yeah, we're really excited about it.
I'd like to see, hopefully you can send me a picture of some of those boxes if you have them. I also wanted to return to the idea of how do you evaluate success in that first, you know, after 1 year, how are you checking back in on a particular franchise location to determine whether it's working or not, or whether it's going to work?
Sure, and success really will be determined by how well that location executes. You know, how well are they doing with the material and the operational standards that we've provided? We will be in each location in that first year and onward, at least once each quarter. And it won't be the sometimes what we would call the typical audit, where there's somebody coming in with a clipboard and simply taking a pulse over a few hours of how the business is doing. Our visits will be a full 2 days, immersing ourselves into the restaurant with the franchisee side by side and really working through all areas of operations. But most importantly, I think, after all of your ensuring safety and that they're serving great food and all of that, is really the culture and what we call the hospitality hug. Are we treating those guests and our team members as the important individuals that they truly are? And as long as that's taking place, and again, you're serving great quality food, we believe we'll be successful in any market. However, at the end of the day, it will come down to the partnerships that Cool Greens makes, ensuring that we have surrounded ourselves with partners that share our values and can truly execute and deliver on our brand.
Well said. Any big menu initiatives in the year ahead that you can share with us?
Sure. And the good news is we just rolled our first big menu initiative on January 4th of this year of 2019. It was the first what we would call major menu innovation in about 2 years. And we focused on speed, efficiency, and being able to provide really the best of the best in our fresh ingredients. We in the past have been offering 50 to 60 different toppings, and we were finding that the line became a little cluttered. As well, guests were being confused, and when someone was creating their own salad, at times they would mix different flavor profiles because their choices were so vast. So we dropped the offerings, as I said, from 50 to 60. We came down to about 35 of the toppings that we're most proud of. And then we really worked on the quinoa bowls that we discussed earlier. We invigorated the flatbread section of the menu to get a little more on trend. We lost some of our, what I would call saucier items that were maybe a little heavy, and we replaced those with very fresh, bright colors. Our most popular one so far has been what we call the Goat Bowl. Now that's an acronym for greatest of all time, but that bowl is very fresh and bright. It uses that white organic quinoa. It has fresh Granny Smith apples, fresh arugula, fresh diced onions, along with chicken as the protein, along with that white quinoa. It's just fantastic, and it mixes with a nice Dijon vinaigrette, and it just creates a bright, fresh item versus something that was heated up and very, again, a little saucier and a little thick, and it just didn't resonate.
Yeah, that's the description of the dish just seems right on trend with what the mindset is of everybody, at least in the US right now,
Sure.
from the data I'm looking at. The vegetable and salad-based limited service market is, in fact, going great guns because of those trends. So how does Cool Greens distinguish itself going forward when there will be more and more competitors in the
Sure, we're,
grains-based concept?
you bet, and we're, I guess, first and foremost, we are so, I guess, proud and honored to be even in the segment with some of these brands. There are some fantastic companies out there that are doing just wonderful, wonderful things. We personally feel, as we've discussed many times today, that it's our broader menu appeal that we haven't just focused on one category. We're not just salads. We're not just bowls. We're trying to reach that broader spectrum because we do believe that at times, when you're so laser focused on one menu category, that you do lose the veto vote. And when groups of individuals are in their office trying to decide where to go, if there's one individual that says, I just don't feel like a salad today, we may lose that guest. And we're working very hard to have a menu and a building that lends itself to a little bit of everything for everyone. The other thing that we're very proud of is the teams and the culture that we're creating within the stores, the types of celebrations and events that we do with our team members, our reach into the community. It's not uncommon in Oklahoma City to find a yoga instructor coming to us and asking, "Can I use your space in the morning before you're open to teach a yoga class?" And we'll open up the doors and move the tables, and we'll let that individual come in and teach a yoga class. We're not going to charge them for that. It's just us being good stewards of our community.
Vital to do that, and a great way to do it, particularly with something like yoga. Thank you so much, Todd. It's going to be fun to watch where this brand grows and goes as well, and as it spreads across the states. I hope you will keep us up to date.
I will. We're very excited. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
To our audience, we also offer our sincere thanks and the hope that you enjoyed today's podcast, and also that you'll spread the word about it and bring a few pals along next week for that edition, when we'll be right back here with two more innovators in and around the limited service world, where something new and amazing is always happening. Until then, I wish you great business.